We're going to start Chof Amid Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines in the top. Or in the Gemara, we're going to go back to start from 20A1 at the end of the page. Okay, Tan Rabban, Rabban Olan, there's no Gemara. In Megapa Yavi, Megapa Yetzi. About an Evid Ivri, the Torah says if he comes alone, it literally means he comes with his body, he shall leave with his body. Meaning, Begufi Nichnas, Begufi Yetzi. Means if his body is intact, he has to leave with his body intact. Okay? Rabbi ben Yaakov, says, Yechidi nichnes, Yechidi yeitze. The Gemara is going to explain what each detail over here means. The first opinion says, he goes in with his body intact, he goes out with his body intact. Second opinion says, he goes on in alone, he goes out alone. So Gemara says, my begufi nichnes begufi yeitze. What does that mean? So Amar Rav Rav says, Lamer teaches us, Sheni Yetze Barashi Ivonim Ke'evit. Unlike an Evid Kanani, that if the master knocked out one of the 24 primary limbs of the person, he goes out free. You said you knock out a tooth, an eye, or whatever it is, you cut off his hand. Any of these things you do, the Evid Kanani goes out free. Here, it's not like that. Mean, his body goes in intact, his body goes out intact. That means he doesn't go out by making a blemish in his body. Amalei Abaye asks, why do I need this pasuk to tell me that? I learned it out already from a different pasuk. Ahim Eliseitz, I could say, so Avodim Nafk, there's a pasuk that says that an Ami Yevriya does not go out like other Avodim go out. Right? Meaning, the way the Gemara learns, a Jewish slave doesn't go out like a Goyish slave. So if a Goyish slave goes out with making a blemish in him, a Jewish slave doesn't. So already the Pasuk says that an Eved Ivri doesn't go out like that. So why do I need the Pasuk in Begapa Yavi Begapa Yetzi? So the Gemara says like this. No, Rava answered, he may ask him if it's from over there. Have I mean, I would think by an Eved Ivri, the din is like this. Nasev like Deme Einei Venepuk. I would think like this. A guy, if you're not, a guy is your slave, if you knock out his eye, he just goes out free. You don't have to pay him for it. If a Jewish slave is eye is knocked out, then you need freedom, plus you pay him.
Damages?
Yeah. That's what I would think. So the Pasuk says, no, Begapa Yavi, Begapa Yetzi, that he doesn't go out with knocking out an eye, or a tooth, or whatever it is.
But he gets damages?
Yeah, if you damage him, it's like anybody else, but he doesn't go free because of it. You know, the Gemara asked, Abaye's question was, but the Pasuk says he doesn't go out like a Goyish slave. So he must say, yeah, maybe he won't. But by a Goyish slave, you don't have to pay for it. By a Jewish slave, you would have to pay for it. That's what I would think. So the Pasuk says, no. Begapa Yavi, Begapa Yetzi, an Eved Ivri does not go out if you knock out an eye. Or any other of the 24 limbs. By the way, if you do it, you have to pay him. Like then, if you damage an Eved Ivri, you have to pay him. But the interesting thing is, how do you evaluate the value of an eye?
How much is worth
as a slave, with an eye and without an eye. And that's the difference of an eye. So since by slaves, how much you be sold as a slave. Okay, that's the first opinion. Now that Eliezer ben Yaakov came along and said no, in the Braisa. So now the Gemara isn't explaining it. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no, that's not what it means. What does Begapa Yavi, Begapa Yetzi mean? Yechidi Nichnes, Yechidi Yetzi. He goes in alone, he goes out alone. So Gemara says, Ma Yechidi Yetzi. What does it mean, he goes out alone? Hachi Kama, Amen of Nachman Yitzchok, Hachi Kama, this is what it means. Yesh Le'isho Bonim, if this Eved Ivri was married, Rabbi Meisel Le'Shivcha Kananis, his master can give him a shiksa to reproduce at night. And Le'ishu Banim, if he doesn't have a wife and kids, that means he's single. And Rabbi Meisel Le'Shivcha Kananis, the master cannot give him a Shivcha Kananis. Okay? This is what the Gemara says, and in fact, this is the halacha, by the way, that, well, nowadays it doesn't apply anyway, but the din is that if, but the truth is both are true. If you knock out his eye, he also doesn't go out free. Okay? But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, the Pasuk is teaching us another din. When can the master give an Eved Ivri a shiksa
a maidservant, a shiksa maidservant, to be able to reproduce kids only if he's married. If he's not married, he can't. What's the logic behind it? So the Mefarshim explained there is a logic behind it. If a guy's not married, what happens? Oh, good morning. What happens? The Torah says, if after 6 years the guy says, "Oh, I don't want to go out free," right? It's a shiksa. The guy says, "I love the shiksa." So Gemara says like this. This is the logic of it. Hopefully, if a guy's married, he's not going to want to stay with the shiksa. He's going to want to go back to his wife. But he's not married to a Yiddish girl, and he's allowed to marry the shiksa. So he says, "Hey, I like it. Let me stay with her." So therefore, the Torah says no. If he's single, you cannot get a shiksa. If he's married, then the master can give him a shiksa.
If he's married to a Jewish woman,
you
get a shiksa too?
No.
Previous if he knocks out a tooth of a Jewish slave,
he goes out free.
He's out free, but a Jew doesn't go out free?
No.
There must be a good reason for this.
There is a logic. I mean, the goyish slave you own. He's yours forever. His kids become your kids. You know, if a guy dies, the son inherits David Kanani completely. Right? It's his. So Torah says, don't think that because you own him, you can do whatever you want to the guy. Torah says you damage him, he's out. In order to Torah teach, you have to respect. He's taka neved kanani. You taka own him, but you need to respect him. He's not a piece of meat that you could do to him whatever you want. So if you knock out one of the main limbs, he goes out free. Everybody you don't own anyway. He works for you for 6 years. So why should he go out free? First of all, why should the guy want to knock him out? You don't own the guy. So why should you want to? And therefore, even if you do, by accident. By the way, the Gemara says later on, this brought down Ram Shechonor, not Shechonor, Shechonor doesn't talk about Evi Kanani. If a guy, the master was a dentist, yeah, and the Evi Kanani, let's say, knew how to learn, he comes over to the guy and says, "Oh, I have a terrible toothache. Maybe you could pull out my tooth." Yeah? And the guy is a dentist, pulls out his tooth, David says, "Goodbye, I'm free." Then he becomes, by the way, a full-fledged Jew. You know, like we learned, David Kanani, who goes out free, becomes a full-fledged Jew.
That would work?
Yeah, yeah. That's what the Rambam brings down. If the Eved was mocking the master, that's the Lashon over there, if he was mitzachik bay, he was making fun of him, and he says, "Hey, you know, poke something into my..." Whatever he says, you know, knock out a tooth, an eye, whatever. And the guy did it, goes out free. Even though the Eved teased him that he should do it.
Why only if he's married he can have the shiksa?
Because we said, we just said, you came late.
How many minutes?
We start 8 o'clock. Because if he's married, hopefully he won't want to stay with the shiksa.
Oh, right, I heard that.
Okay. Now the Torah says, the Gemara says, turn the Rabbanan into another din. Also an interesting concept. Nimka. And Chof Amir Aleph 2, 4, 6 lines before the wide lines.
Okay.
What happens if an Eved, now we learned before an Eved could buy his freedom, remember? Eved Ivri could buy out, let's say he sold for 6 years for $600. After 3 years, the Eved Ivri can give him $300 and he goes out free. Yeah? Now, what happens if the value of the Eved changed? Which price do you pay? Okay, Tanu Rabban, Rabbanan learned. Nimka b'mana. If the Eved was sold for 100, v'ishbiach v'amir al-masayim, chof amir aleph, 6 lines before the wide lines. He was sold for $100, and now he's worth $200. Right? So now the Eved, after 3 years, wants to buy himself freedom. Is it half of the 100, or half of the 200? How much does he have to pay to redeem himself? So the din is, minayin shein mechashim le'el amana. How do I know he only has to pay half of 100? Shenema mikasev miknasai. Right before the wide lines. Shenema mikasev miknasai. It says, from the money of his purchase. So the Torah says, what do you count? Purchase price. So if an eved was sold for $100, then after 3 years he became worth $200, the market went up, and he wants to redeem himself, he doesn't have to pay $100, he could pay $50 and he goes free. Mikasid miknasi. Now the Gemara says the opposite. Nimka b'masayim, what happens if he was sold for $200, and now he's only worth $100? And he wants to buy himself out, he can only pay, he only has to pay half of 100. I, the purchase price was 2, he still goes out cheaper. How do we know that he only has to pay half? Based on the years. Meaning, based on the current price. So Gemara is right away going to ask, maybe it's the reverse. In other words, like this. Kesef miknasai means you go by the purchase price. Kfi shanav, you go by the present price. Right? So Gemara says, what does it teach us? It's in the eved's benefit both ways. If he was sold for 100 and now he's worth 200, he could redeem himself for half of 100 after 3 years. Yeah, if he was sold for 200 and now he's 100, he can redeem himself for half of 100, which is a quarter of the original purchase price. So Gemara says, okay, and the price is not done yet. And the 11 nimkan evdikachov, I would think this din only applies to an eved who is sold to a goy. Why? Because the relatives redeem him. So therefore, Yode Alo Al Tachtoin, I would think that he has, the master has the least of advantages. Nimka li Yisrael Minolon. I'll explain in a second. How do we know that if you sold to a Jew, the same din applies? That he goes out on the cheaper of the two prices? We learn out by Sachir is a Jew by a Jew who sold to a goy. Sachir is said also by a Eved Ivri, sold to a Jew. So we learn out Eved Ivri and Eved Kanani is the same din in this respect. Meaning like this. Obviously, a goy in Eretz Yisrael at the less didn't have the upper hand like a Jew did. So I would think this din, that the Eved gets the better of the deal, whether it's less at the beginning, he goes by that, whether it's less at the end, he goes like that, is only a Jew who sold to a goy. So the Eved, if he wants to buy himself out of the goy, so he has to pay the lesser price. Because the goy, you give him the lesser of the deals, right? What happens if it's a goy, I mean, Eved, if he sold to a Jew, so I would think that then he doesn't have, the Eved doesn't have the upper hand, the master does. So we learn out, Sachir. Just say by if you sold to a goy, the Eved has the upper hand in redeeming himself for the cheaper price. The same thing, an Eved, even if he sold to a Jew, can redeem himself for the lesser of the prices. Okay, this is what the Gemara says. By the way, this din is in many, many different dinim. For instance, a few cases. Hegdish always gets the upper hand. In any deal, it could be a contradictory deal. Hegdish always gets the upper hand. Because it's God, he always gets the upper hand. Then there's a din like this. What happens if a Jew has a court case with a goy? This might sound a little racist to a goy. What happens if a Jew has a din tater with a goy? Okay, and they go to Beis Din. Now, the din is like this. If in Jewish court the Jew would win, then the Jew wins. You go by Jewish law. If in Jewish law the goy would win, But in secular court, the Jew would win. Beis Din paskens like the secular court. Because they say, you're a goy. That's your law. In other words, a Jew and a goy in a Beis Din, the Jew will always have the upper hand. If in Jewish law he wins, they'll paskin like Jewish law. If in Jewish law he'll lose, but in Goyish law the goy loses, then they'll paskin like Goyish law.
It's for a forum
shopping. Huh? First of all, Beis Din is cheaper.
But he knows he might lose anyway. He might probably lose.
No, if in both laws, it's not true. If in all laws the guy is right, the guy is going to win. It's not the corrupt. It's not a corrupt system. Just because the guy's a guy, you can do whatever you want to him. It doesn't work like that. If the guy is right, the guy is right.
But for monetary transaction, Rabbi, let's say I make a contract with you. $400 and the value of dollar goes down. It's the purchase price or the contract price that's binding, not what happens later.
As far as what?
I want to sell something to you for $100.
Right.
And tomorrow $100 is worth $90.
Right.
Which is controlling the contract price or the new price?
Contract price.
Contract price.
But here we're talking about redemption. Redemption is I redeem, the Torah allows me to redeem myself, even though it's a contract for 6 years. Right? But the Torah says, an Eved Ivri could, see, by Goyshe Eved, only relatives can redeem him. By Eved Ivri sold to a Jew, the relatives cannot redeem him. Only the Jew can redeem himself. That's exactly what the Torah says. Because we don't want a Jew by Goyim. Because the guy's not going to let him keep mitzvahs properly. So therefore there's a burden that he gives on the relatives if they can't to redeem him. If a Jew is sold to a Jew, why should Beis Din be mechayev the relatives? He's living with a Jew. He could do mitzvahs. If he wants to redeem himself, he can redeem himself. Huh? In those days.
Are slaves treated like land or like personal property?
As far as what?
Buying and selling.
Steel. No, Eved.
Can you steal?
Later in Kedushin, the Mishnah says, "Yeah, kaina and Eved like you kaina a karka."
Land. So you cannot steal Eved because you cannot steal land.
Yeah. Well, the Gemara discusses that later. How do, if you can't steal land, how can you steal an Eved? It's either shach to steal an Eved. It's shach to steal land too.
But it's not effective.
Right. But it is effective to a certain thing. If I come into your house on Sukkot, you're sitting in your sukkah, yeah? I come into you at gunpoint. I say, get out. I'm taking over the sukkah. Can I sit in that sukkah?
You could, but I don't think you have the ownership.
You're not Yetzer. It's called sukkah gzula. Obviously, it's chosen. You come to gunpoint.
Yeah.
No, the zen, none of it's not true. The only din you can eat in somebody else's sukkah without permission is we assume a guy wants you to do a mitzvah. If a guy says, I don't want you in my sukkah, you can't go into somebody's sukkah without permission if the guy clearly says, I don't want you here. Right. It's only if we don't know, we assume. A guy would like people to do a mitzvah where there's no loss of money.
Well,
if you put him back. You could, only if you put him back.
Well, if a guy has to divorce his wife, doesn't want him, you beat him up till he says right something.
No.
Because that's what he really wants to do as a mitzvah. Welcome somebody into your sukkah is also a mitzvah.
In monetary things, I could beat you up to give me tzedakah. You have a mitzvah giving tzedakah. So I'm going to come to you for a donation. You won't give me. I'll take a stick. I'll beat you up until finally you agree to give me the money.
You
should try and see if it works.
Beis Din can
do so. No, they can't.
They can't extract money from
Beis Din. Not. If there's a chiv mitzvah to give, but not. Maybe you want to give it to somebody else.
Mashkin
al tzedakah. not mashke. If you owe tzedakah money, Bezin can take a mashke. Okay. Then it says like this. So, Lepoil, the way the Gemara is, what the Gemara is going to get into now is, this din seemingly doesn't make sense. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? One pasuk says you go by the purchase price. Okay? Kesef miknase. Another pasuk says you go by the present price. So the Gemara learns the both to the advantage of the yavid. Right? So the Gemara says like this. Amar Abay Abayasid. Hareini kven azei b'shuket Tveria. Benazi was known. Benazi lived in Tveria. Okay, Abaye lived in Pumpadisa or wherever he lived. Abaye lived in Bovel. Benazi lived in Tveria. Benazi was known, like it says, he was brilliant, a chacham, you know, very smart. He had a clear head. Every so often when Abaye was in a very clear head mode, Abaye would come along with the statement, I am like Benazi in Tveria. Which means, any question you ask me, I'll answer. You have to incite the Gemara, so, you know, many places in Shas. So Amar Abaye, one day Abaye said, Areinik Benazi b'shuka Tveria. I am like Benazi today in the streets of Tveria, meaning ask me any question you want, I'll answer you.
He lived in different times, so Abaye was after
Benazi. Abaye was how much after Benazi? Benazi was, let's say, Rekiva. Rekiva is 100 years until this, and about, he lived about 200 years apart. Okay, so Amelo heard of Abraham and Abaye. So somebody took up Abaye's offer. So he said to him like this, Michti, I don't understand. Hani Kroy, these psukim that you just said, Kesef Miknasi means you go by the purchase price, right? Kfish, Kfishana, go by the present price. Ika the Mirishina Lukula, you can do both psukim in a lenient way for the Eved. And you could order in a stricter way. That means that the master should gain. Right? Why do you go at lenient? Meaning, why are you making this pasuk go for the benefit of the Eved? Why didn't you go to the benefit of the master? Which means, if he went up in price, you go by now. If he went down in price, you go by the way when he sold it. And instead of the opposite. Why? So he says, it doesn't make sense. Why? Because we find the Torah dealt lenient with an Eved Ivri. You don't own him, he could redeem himself. So you find the Torah is basically favoring the Eved. Okay? So now I can learn two psukim. Either favoring the Eved or favoring the master. So who am I going to favor? I'm going to favor the Yavit. The Tanya, where do we see that the Torah is very lenient with the Eved? The Tanya says like this. Kitev le'imach, it says about an Eved Ivri, the Torah says he has it good with you. Meaning, imach b'maychol, you have to eat with him, with you in food. Imcha b'mishta, with you in drink. What does the term mean by that? Tev le'imach means you have to treat an Eved Ivri like you would treat yourself. Meaning, you cannot eat bread out of fine flour and you give him pas kebod, junky flour. Or you can't, the master cannot drink good old wine and you give him junky wine. Ata Yoshin Agabi Muchim, you sleep, the master sleeps on a mattress. Vu Yoshin Agabi Atevin, he's gonna put him on straw. The Torah says no. Kitev le'imach, and Eved Ivri has to be treated as good as the master treats himself. And then the Gemara says, Mikan Omer from here, Chachabim, say from this pasuk, Kolakaina Eved Ivri, whoever buys an Eved Ivri, you think you're buying a slave, you're really buying a master. Because you got to treat him better than you treat yourself. Okay? So what do you... But...
Better, as much.
Huh?
As good.
As good. So what do we see from this Braisa? What do we see from this Braisa? That the Torah is very lenient when it comes to an Eved. The Torah treats an Eved very nicely. So therefore the Gemara says, If I could learn the pasuk for the benefit of the Eved, or for the benefit of the master, I'm going to learn it for the benefit of the Eved. So that's what Abaye answered. So they asked Abaye, no. Haimani mili linyan achilu shtia. Maybe that old only into food, you know, or physical comforts. Ki heich de leilet stayale, because we don't want the Eved to suffer. Maybe, holy inyan pigyan, but maybe as far as redeeming himself, we should go stricter for the Eved. Why? Where do we find we go stricter for an Eved? With Rabbi Yisi b'Rab Chanina, because of Rabbi Yisi b'Rab Chanina's din. The Amr Rabbi Yisi b'Rab Chanina, Rabbi Yisi b'Rab Chanina says, Bei Urei, come and see, Kamakasha avoka shel Shvius. Look how harsh the dust of Shvius is. What do you mean, the dust? Dust of Shvius means even something which is not biblically forbidden. It's like a little bit forbidden. Look how punished you are for it. And the Bais is going to explain. Adam Naisiv and Naisim prepare Shvius. A guy will do business. Now, the fruits of Shvius, right, Shemitah, the sabbatical year, the fruits are Hefker. And things that grow, right? You can't, you don't have to cut down your trees. Whatever grows, grows. You have no ownership over the produce. It's free for all. Ask, taking for the asking. You don't even have to ask, you just take. Okay? Therefore, the owner is not allowed to sell his fruits. They're not his to sell. They're Hefker. So it says like this. Adam Naisiv and Naisim B'Peir Shvius. What happens if a person does business? Now, biblically, the Torah only forbids working in the field. The Torah doesn't say openly you can't do business. The Torah says you can't plant, plow, work in the field in Shemitah. Right? The Chachamim said, right, it's not biblical, it's rabbinic, you can't do business with it.
Even if it grew on its own?
No, you can't take off your fruits and sell it.
Even if it grew on its own?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Hefker, but you can take from the Hefker.
No, you can't. Yeah, but not as an owner to make money out of it.
You're even limited as to how much you can bring to your house. Right?
Right. So it says, what happens if a person does this? You know what the punishment is going to be? The safe, the end result be, meiches metalt olav. You're going to be forced to sell all your movable items. You'll be broke. You'll have to sell your things in the house. Shenama, because it says in the Torah, Mishna se yevel atashuv isha lechuzasi. In the year of Yevol, the land goes back to its original inheritance. V'samach lein, right away it says, chisim krumim kol amisecha. If you make a sale of goods to your fellow, or economy out of misecha, or you buy it, so what does it mean? Dover an nikna miyad liyad. When it says economy ad amisecha, means things are bought hand to hand, like movable things, not land, movable items, right? What do you see from there? That the Torah says the Torah connects Yovel to selling your property. Not land, goods. So what the Gemara says, you know what you see from there? If you don't keep Shemitah and Yovel properly, you're going to be forced to sell things that you own. You're going to go broke. And then the Braise continues. Lo hirgish. What happens if the guy still didn't get the message? The safe mecher is sedesef. He's going to have harder hardships. He's going to have to sell his field. Shenema, because it says ki yomach achicha, when you're right in the same connection. The Torah says if your brother becomes poor, umachar me'achuzase, and has to sell his inheritance, right? Meaning, he still didn't do tshuva. You're going to have to sell your land. Leibal yada, he still didn't come to do tshuva. Okay? Achamecha is basically, you can even have to sell your house. Forget your fields, you're going to have to sell your house. Shenemar, ki yimke beis meishav yechayim. Right afterwards, the Torah says, you're going to sell your house. It's like similar to tzaras. We learned, remember, that the Rambam says, first Hashem puts leprosy in your houses. You don't get the message, he puts on your clothing. You still don't get the message, he puts it on your body. Here the Gemara says, the Braisa says like this. All you did was sold Shemitah, sold fruit of Shemitah. It's not even the main Shemitah prohibition. So it's not the Issa min HaTorah. Chacham said you can't sell goods, right? What's going to happen? You're going to have to sell your metaltalin, your tangible items. You still don't get the message? You're going to have to sell your field. You still don't get the message? You're going to have to sell your house. But now the Gemara says, just the Gemara is asking on the expression of the Braisim. When it comes to the first part, okay, when it comes that you don't get the, after you sell your goods, you don't get it, lehirgish, and over here by the last case it says lebasel yodei. In other words, the Braisim says something like this, if you sin, you're going to have to sell your metaltalin. Im lehirgish, literally means if you didn't feel it, means you didn't get the message, you're going to have to sell your field. Then the Gemara says, and if you still don't get it in your hand, you're going to have to sell your house. Why is the Braisa changing the terms? So he says like this, because Rav Huna like Rav Huna says, this is a very famous Gemara. The Amr Rav Huna said, Kiv and Shaver Adam Aveda, Vishanaba, when a person sins and keeps repeating it, Hutrolai, it becomes permitted to him. So right away the Gemara asks, Hutrolai Sakat, it becomes permissible? No. Elenasis like a heter. It becomes like permissible. Now it's like the first time you sin, you're guilty. Feel guilty. Second time, less guilty. Third time, less guilty, the Gemara says. Until, in your mind, there's nothing wrong doing it.
It's like a mitzvah.
Huh?
Some say it feels like a mitzvah.
Yeah, eventually you get, yeah, you think it's a mitzvah to do it.
Well, the Gemara
says, Hutrolai. I mean, the Gemara, Nasali Kehet. No, it becomes in the person's mind, as if... So therefore, what it means over here is, Nasas Leket, and therefore it says, Lebas Leyodai, meaning, it becomes like a heter. It didn't even come to your hand to even think. Bechal, in Musa Svarim, Chassidus Svarim, it says an interesting concept. If a person sins, and they feel guilty, it's not so bad. The real problem is, when you sin, and you don't even feel guilty about it. That's the problem. As long as you feel guilty, that means you know you're doing something wrong. You feel you're doing something wrong. When you stop feeling guilty, you don't even feel you're doing something wrong. So that's even worse.
So Jewish guilt is a gift.
Jewish guilt is very good. It's a blessing. That's not even mother-in-law guilt. That's Jewish guilt.
The mother on top.
No, the reason why there's Jewish guilt, by the way, because the Jew still has a neshama, and the neshama still feels guilty when you do something over and over. Even though it's over and over, you still feel guilty.
Look, in Judaism, when it says guilt-free, it just means you don't pay for the guilt.
Right. That's all it means. Okay, then, what?
And the case of the Shavir, he does the business with the fraud.
Right.
You say you commit Midarabana.
Yeah.
I don't know that Hashem has to punish Misfat Midarabana.
It's worse.
What? No, one second. I made him say. I'm not going to say Sand Rabbanan. He brings down. It's also it's learned out from a Torah and is viewed to be a lesser one, since it's not said in the Torah as a negative commandment. Okay, how do you learn out? You're not allowed to buy and sell because the Torah says it will be to you la'achla. The Torah says the peris will be la'achla to eat. So the fact that the Torah says a positive mitzvah, you have to eat it, means you can't do business with it. But it's not really a negative commandment. It's only something we derive from a positive pasuk. Right? It says, lava bo mechal esa, so you don't even get malchus for it.
Why
so
is it true?
Huh?
Why is the punishment so is true?
Because it's worse. We're not done yet. One second.
What if he doesn't eat it? He wants to sell it and buy
it. He can't. No, it's not allowed to be sold. Mm-hmm. Now, so we learn like this. First, you're going to sell your monetary things. Then you're going to sell your fields. Then you're going to sell your house. If you don't get the message yet. Yeah? What happens if you still don't get the message? Neibalu yodai, achimechid is bitei. You can end up selling your daughter as a slave. You'll be so broke. Shenama, because it says, v'chiyimkot ishes bitelam. Okay, you're going to have to sell. And it's all connected in all the same places, even though it's not mentioned in the same place with the other things, but it still mentions in Chumash about selling your daughter.
Rabbi, can I ask you a personal question?
What?
Please. You know, when bad things happen to people, there's obviously... People get naturally upset, you know, and sometimes they don't even realize it's because of something they did or whatever. So how is it possible a person can get it or, you know, do tshuva when he's so upset and he's so, like, disgusted? It could be that a person is so disgusted, so upset, it's very difficult for them to even do tshuva at all, you know, or even try to do anything correct. You know, because one thing leads to another and leads to another, and the person's ala panim, and it's, you know, I mean, what is an answer for it? How do we answer the person who's so... going through so much hardship that he has trouble even bringing himself to...
Because a person needs to feel that God runs the world, and therefore everything that's happening to them is coming from Hashem, and God is telling us something by it. In other words, the Gemara says... anytime you get angry, it's like worshipping idols. That's what the Gemara says. Kol ha'kayis kilo eved avei dezara. It's in the Gemara, it's in Rambam, it's in Shulchan Aruch, it's all over the place. Right? So the question is, why? You did something bad to me, I get angry. That's idol worshipping? You messed me up, I'm getting angry at you, that's natural reaction. Why is that considered aveda zara? Okay? So the answer is, look in Simon Chafein Igersha Kodesh, in Tanya, there's a long 10-page answer from the Alter Rebbe on this question. In a nutshell, there's a story in Tanakh with Shimi Ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera cursed David HaMelech. So David HaMelech in the deathbed told his kids, don't do anything to Shimi ben Gera. Why?
Eventually took revenge though.
Eventually for something else. But here David HaMelech said, Hashem Amar Leikalel. God told him to curse me. Therefore David HaMelech said, the fact that I was cursed by Shimi ben Gera, God told him to do it. So like the Alter Rebbe says, where do we find God told Shimi ben Gera to curse David HaMelech? No, where did God tell him to curse David HaMelech? You don't find that anywhere. So what's the answer? Very simple. Who gave Shimi ben Gera the ability to open his mouth?
His wife.
No, his wife shut the mouth. Who gave him the ability to open the mouth? Hashem, right? Hashem gives you, without Hashem you're not alive. Who gives me the ability to move my hand? Hashem. David HaMelech understood that if he is getting cursed by Shimi ben Gera, who made it happen? Hashem made it happen. Right?
So he'll be upset at Hashem.
1 second. Hashem did it, not Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera is only the axe. Okay? If I take a rock and smash your window, you're not going to get angry at the rock. You're going to get angry at me. The rock, what do you want from the rock? The rock had no free choice. Right? The rock didn't say, oh, 1 minute, okay, I'm going to go break his window. I mean, you're not angry at the rock. If I take a bat and bust your window, you're not going to get angry at the bat.
Why didn't Hashem curse?
One second. Who did it? Hashem did it. Okay? That's number one. Number two, if God does something, Hashem is good, the essence of good. Teva tev lahetiv, the nature of good is to do good. So therefore, whatever Hashem does is good. Whether I understand or not, tough luck, this is my problem. Whatever God does is good. Okay? Therefore, bottom line, if I smack you in the face, you have to understand God wanted you to get smacked. There's nothing to do with me. So then the question, why am I punished? I should be rewarded. I did God's shlichus. God wanted you to get hit. Yeah? So God should pay me. I did God's dirty work. Why do I get punished? Okay? I'm not punished because I hit you. I'm punished because God said don't hit and I hit. As far as you're concerned, there's nothing to do with me. Okay? If you get messed up, I mess you up in business. Okay, you have to understand, I didn't mess you up. God did. So go deal with God. Between me and God, that I'm punished because I'm not allowed to mess up a Jew, and I did. But as far as you're concerned, there's no reason of anger. It came from Hashem.
And it kind of goes back to the question, because you get upset with Hashem.
Where's your free choice?
Okay, so get...
Where's your free choice?
You can get... I have free choice.
If Hashem wanted it messed up, then obviously...
There's nothing to do with me.
Okay, that's...
If Reuven kills Shimon... Reuven kills Shimon. Mm-hmm. Shimon's time came to go? Yes or no? When Shimon was born, did God know at this and this day Shimon's going to die? That the amount of time he had?
Sure.
There's no mistakes, right? So, Reuven kills Shimon and Shimon's 50th birthday. Yeah? How much life did Shimon have? 50 years. Reuven is not punished because Shimon died. Reuven is punished because God says in the Torah, don't kill, and you killed. You murdered. Whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
So one thing has nothing to do with the next. Therefore, the Gemara says, when I get angry at somebody for messing me up, what am I basically denying? That God did it. Because if you believe God did it, then what are you getting angry about? Why am I getting angry at you? Right? God did it, not you. So why am I getting angry at you?
But,
one second. The fact that I get angry...
The fact was the vessel. The fact that he was so evil...
Again, you're going to get angry at the axe that chopped your house down. You're going to get angry at the bat that broke your window.
He had freedom of choice. He had freedom of choice.
That's between him and God, not between you and him.
But another shooter...
So one second. So therefore... So therefore... Let me just finish the point. Therefore, the Gemara says, whoever gets angry is worshipping idols. Number one. Because that means you're denying the fact that Hashem is running the world. That's Avodah Zarah. Now, what a Jew's attitude in life, and this is what the Gemara is saying here. Okay, we're not going off the topic. This is really what the Gemara is saying. Mm-hmm. When something happens to a Jew, as Rambam says, there's nothing mikra nikra, there's nothing coincidental. God is talking to you. Get the message. The handwriting's on the wall. No, really, that's the point. The guy did business shvius he wasn't supposed to. Yeah? God made you broke, you needed to sell your household furniture. You still didn't get the message. God made you sell your field. You still didn't get the message. God made you sell your house. You still didn't get the message. God says you're going to sell your daughter. And we're not done yet. Even though the concept of selling a daughter doesn't exist by the other sellings that we just learned, but Kamash Milan, the Chiddush is, to such an extent, Nizbin Inish Breite, a man will sell his daughter for the Nesiv B'Nizbin, not to borrow money at interest. Okay? Meaning like this. Right in these sellings that the Torah talks about, it speaks about not lending money in interest. And the Gemara says a guy would rather, the nature of a person is, he would rather sell his daughter as a slave to make money rather than to borrow money on interest.
That's human nature.
My time, right. Why? Because the guy says like this, Brate, if I sell my daughter, migrav nafka, you know, I can buy her back, I can buy her freedom back. Okay, you know, buy your freedom. Huh, most of us, the interest keeps getting more and more and more. Like everybody knows.
You never get rid of it.
Okay. So therefore, the Gemara says like this. What's the next step? You're going to have to sell your daughter. What's the next step if you don't get the message? You're going to have to borrow money with interest. Now you're going to go into debt.
He says, Leibasa liyode, it's not going to even come. Atshalava b'divis until you're going to borrow money with interest. Shanema, because it says, if your brother becomes poor, and he's faltering in his proximity, and then the Torah says, "Al tikach mi, don't, you need to lend the money, but don't take interest." Then the Gemara says, "Lay bas liyadei, if you still don't get the message, you're going to end up selling yourself. You're going to be so broke." Shenama kiyama chachicha v'nim kolach, lay lecha. It says like this. It's not only to you, but even the get, even to a get, he can sell himself. What's a get? V'leh leger tzedek, not only to a ger tzedek, can it be sold. Ela leger teishiv, even a ger teishiv means a guy who accepts upon himself the seven mitzvahs, because Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai that goyim have to keep the seven mitzvahs. Shenemar ger teishiv, it says, Mishpachas ger is even le'ev de kechavim, even an idolater. So he says, "Kshoeimer le'eked zanim kolaved is kochavim." After, you're going to end up selling to an idol, worshipping himself.
You should keep 7 mitzvahs.
But Ger Teishev is one who keeps the 7 mitzvahs. Not Stam keeps the 7 mitzvahs. The Rambam says in the Gemara that a Ger Teishev is one who keeps the 7 mitzvahs because Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai that goyim have to keep the 7 mitzvahs. If a guy keeps the 7 mitzvahs because he feels this is the right thing to do, he's not the chassid or mesa'ilim.
What does that mean?
The righteous Gentiles.
He's not a righteous?
No. He has to do it because God, this is what the Rambam says. He has to do it because God told Moshe Rabbeinu. A ger teishav is like this. A ger, you know, a guy who converts, halachically becomes a full-fledged Jew. Then you have a ger teishav, which by the way doesn't exist today. The Rambam writes that ger teishav doesn't exist today. Stopped. All the way back. Ger Teishev is, because it's connected to Yovel. Ger Teishev is a guy who accepts the 7 night laws, because Moshe Rabbeinu was told so. He's still a guy, but he has certain rights in Eretz Yisrael that goyim don't have. So what's the question from all this? Okay. From all this we see that he's trans... Why is he sold into slavery? Why is he sold into slavery? Because he sinned. So why should you be lenient on him? Remember the Gemara... The Gemara just went off on a long braisa, okay? But the bottom line of the Gemara before the braisa was, one pasuk says you go by the purchasing price. One pasuk says you go by the present price. So Gemara says you go lenient both ways for the Eved. So the question was, why by an Eved are you lenient, by the master you're stricter? Right? So Abaye said, because we see the Torah is lenient when it comes to an Eved. You have to treat him as much like you treat yourself, and so on and so forth. So they asked him, but 1 minute. What caused this Eved to become an Eved? The fact that he sinned. So why should you be lenient for him?
Well, that's true with every misfortune that falls upon every person.
Correct.
It's not only slavery.
Huh?
It's not only slavery.
I understand it's not only
slavery. He commanded to help the poor, and the poor became poor for a reason. One of these reasons.
Yeah, but here you see that an Eved is not such a holy guy. He sinned, and that's what made him become an Eved. So why should you be so lenient with his redemption? Maybe make it better for the master.
Well, you said a few weeks ago, if you redeem a Jewish slave, then he's gonna go get in some trouble and become slave again.
That's why the relatives don't do it.
That's why the relatives don't do it.
Right. We're talking about redeeming himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're right. We learned before, an Eved Ivri is not allowed to be redeemed by relatives. The reason we learned before is he'll keep selling himself out to make a lot of money. It's a good business. And then the relatives would be forced to buy him out. Anyway, so Abai answered him like this.
That's a big business. It's a loophole. The relatives will give some
out. If you force the relatives to redeem an Eved Ivri,
yeah.
So an Eved Ivri will sell himself for slavery for 6 years, get $600.
Right.
right?
He gets the money.
Who gets the money?
Uh-huh.
His mother-in-law.
I see.
David Ivri is a godel. Hello?
If he stole, then he...
So then he has to pay back the guy he stole from. But if he's broke, mm-hmm. right? He's broke. Uh-huh. So who gets the money? He does. Uh-huh. Okay. So now, what are you going to say? Bezin forces relatives to redeem him? Mm-hmm. He'll go out free after 3 years, let's say. You know what he'll do? He'll sell himself again to a slave, make another $600.
Yeah, but just find loopholes. The family will figure, you know what, I'll give the money to some other guy who's not a family member, tell him to redeem.
No, but if you're saying Bezin forces the relatives, it's the relatives, not to somebody else.
Right, but you're saying the Bezin does not do that.
Why? Because that's what the guy would do.
Right, but the thing is that if that's the case, and it has to be someone other than a relative, who's to stop the relatives from giving money to some third party who gives the money to redeem him?
It has to be either relatives or the guy himself.
It has to be not relatives.
Not only relatives.
I thought you said relatives can't.
That's why only the guy himself could redeem himself. Nobody else. No.
That's only if he's by a goy.
Well, with that, we're going to see now like this. So the Gemara says, "Amar leiv sabayi setim hasim ahadreka." You know why? Because over there, the Torah says you have to treat him nicely, meaning like this: the Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel, like the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel learned the following din: the fact that this Jew went himself, sold himself to a goy, right? To become part of an idol worshipping community, I would say, let's push the boulder down the slope after the one that has fallen. In other words, like this, I would think, Abaya says like this, that if a Jew sells himself to a goy, I would think, you know what? Let him suffer. He did something terrible. You know? Like the guy's knocked on the ground, let's beat him up too. Because he did a terrible thing. He sold himself to a guy. So the Talmud Lamed the Torah says no. Acharei Nimka, after he sold, Geula Tiyalei Echad Me'achav Yigalenu. Some could buy, they have to redeem him. What do you see from there? That even though the Eved did something wrong by selling himself to the guy, the Torah doesn't say, good, you deserve it, stay there. The Torah says the relatives have to buy him back. So what do you see from there? The whole question on Abaya was, if the Eved sinned, why are we lenient on the Eved as far as redemption goes? Abaya says, you know why? Because the Torah says in a different place that even though the Eved, even he sold himself to a guy, to idol worshippers, you still force the relatives to buy him back, to redeem him. Why? Because the Torah has Rachmanis on him. So same thing over here. When he wants to redeem himself, we're always lenient. But the Gemara says, one second. But over there, Gula maybe that reason is because we don't want him amongst Goyim. But maybe as far as redeeming him himself, maybe you should go stricter like Rabbi Yesi Rab Chanina. The Yesi Rab Chanina would say that let's be stricter with him. Not lenient. Like you brought down before. No, one second. Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Chanina. Yeah. Kama kasha avoka. Look how bad a sin is. In other words, like this. The Gemara says, you can't say because the Torah is kind to him when he sold to a guy, we should be kind to him when he wants to redeem himself from another Jew. The Gemara is not a comparison. You know why the Torah is kind to him by a goy? Because we don't want him amongst goyim. We don't want a Jew amongst goyim. Especially not as a slave. So over there, the Torah is lenient that relatives should buy him. But how do you know that if he wants to redeem himself from his master as a Jew, but because he sinned, and that's why he's an Eved, who says we're lenient? Maybe we should be strict. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok, Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok says like this, Trei koi ksiv. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok is going to answer, Abaya didn't. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok is going to answer a different answer, why the Torah is lenient in the redemption of the Eved, always beneficial to the Eved.
says why. Today Kroiksiv, there's two Psukim. One Pasik says, Im Eid Rabbi's Bashanim, if there's still a lot of years left to the 6 years. Uksiv, and another Pasik says, Vima'at Nishibashanim, if there's still amount left in the years. Okay? So Gemara says, V'chi yashanim merubis v'yashanim mu'atis. If you take the pasuk literally, it means if the year is bigger or if the year is smaller. That's literally what the pasuk means. So Gemara says, since when is the year bigger or smaller? A year is a year. What it means is like this. Nisra b'kaspay, if his value went up, mikasev miknosay, from the price, Nismait kaspa, then it should be based. Mikasim miknosi. If it's a lot of money, meaning he was bought with less money and his value went up, so then we redeem him for the lesser amount. Nismait kaspa, meaning like this. What does mean? Rabbeis bashanim means he became worth more. And over there the Torah says kesem miknosei. In the same passage the Torah says which means the purchase price. So the Gemara is learning, Rav Nachman Yisrael is learning it like this. If the Rabbi's Bashanim means his price went up, then the Torah says clearly kesem miknosei, you go by the purchase price. Ma'at Hashanim, if there's decreased the value of the Avid, then the Torah says the pasuk kfi shanav. Okay, so he says because it's exeris akosiv. The Torah clearly says that if he went up, you go by the purchase price, and if he went down, you go by the present price. So it's not because logic. The Torah says this is what you do. If he goes up, he goes by the purchase price. If not, he goes by the other person. What?
That, he sells his daughter. I imagine he sells his daughter only to a Jewish owner. Right?
Yeah, you can't sell a girl to a guy. Mm-hmm. Beis Din doesn't sell to a guy either.
Why, a man in Beis Din sell to a guy?
No.
Also not.
But if a guy sells himself, when does Beis Din sell you? When does Beis Din sell? If he's stolen, can't pay back.
Right.
Okay? That Beis Din can control. Right. But if a guy is selling himself as an Eved, you can stop him who he's going to sell himself to?
Can't.
How can you stop him? He's gonna. He does it.
Why would he sell himself to a guy?
If the guy pays him more money, uh-huh. Get more money from the guy. He's gonna sell himself to the guy. So the terrorist says, 1 minute. We don't want this guy by the goyim. Uh-huh. So we force the relatives to redeem him.
So he could make a business out of that if he sells himself every time to a goy.
Yeah, but they're not gonna let him. Then Bezin will stop him selling himself to the guy. Bezum won't let him. And if he keeps doing it, Bezum won't redeem him.